and you have the cure. You've got it. You've got it right in your possession. Wouldn't you say, in that case, it's a great thing to think of becoming all things to all men that you might save some? Now, we know God does the saving, but isn't it interesting that Paul says that I might save some? This is your objective in life. Reading the Bible, praying, fasting, coming to church, worshiping, all of those things are means of grace to connect us with the Lord while we're here on the earth, to give Him glory. But all of those things being means of grace are to prepare us to do the mission. And the mission is, Jesus said the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and save the lost. And then He said to His disciples, as the Father sent Me, so I send you. We have the mission to save some. I have this wonderful book by my buddy Charles Spurgeon. And I shouldn't call him a buddy, because when I get to heaven, I believe in heaven where there's going to be the new earth, and heaven's going to come to the new earth, and we're going to be real people with new bodies and new painless bodies and no sorrow and no sadness. I believe there's going to be teaching of the Word that goes on for all eternity. And I can't wait to go to Charles Spurgeon's tent and sit. I can't wait. And I have this book called The Soul Winner from Charles Spurgeon. And he says this: if the kingdom is ever to come to our Lord, and come it will never come through a few ministers, missionaries, or evangelists preaching the gospel. It must come through every one of you preaching it, in the shop and by the fireside, when walking outside, when sitting in your room. All of you must always be endeavoring to save some. I would enlist you all afresh and bind anew the King's colors upon you. I desire you would fall in love with my Master anew and enter a second time into the love of your engagement. I would like to stress the question for you who are saved: how many others have you brought to Christ? How many others have you brought to Christ? I'm debating about whether to do something or not. Are you sure, John? It'll take a little extra time. It'll cause the message to be a little longer. I'd like you to start that audio clip. We won't go the whole way through it, but I want you to. I want everybody just to sit back and kind of.
As Joan of Arc was dying at the stake, she said this quote: every man gives his life for what he believes, and every woman gives her life for what she believes. Sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and yet they give their lives to that little or nothing. One life is all we have. We live it and it's gone. But to live without belief is more terrible than dying. Even more terrible than dying young. What do you burn for? What do you burn for?
Jim Elliot said the famous words years before his martyrdom: that man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he prayed as a young man, God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn up for Thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is Thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like Yours. Nate Saint, along with Jim Elliot and three others, American missionaries, were all martyred by the Auca Indians, 1956 in Ecuador. It was only after many years that Steve Saint, Nate's son — Nate was the pilot — found out all the details of what had happened. killing of his father and the others. When I just read the account a few weeks back of the details of the martyrdom, it was an overwhelming thing to read. It was painful. It was tragic. It was tremendously moving. One of the men, the last one, instead of running into the jungle where he could have easily gotten away, he just waded out into the water and in his broken dialect said, "Why are you killing us? We're not hurting you." And waited there until they came and speared him to death. And no sooner had they killed the last one, each one, the different ones, began to hear singing. And they looked up and there were these glowing beings in the trees, singing and praising God. Then when they were waiting and hiding, waiting for the retaliation, nobody came to kill them. They began to realize, something's different about these people. That's why they were so open to the gospel when it came back. It's an extraordinary story. Listen to what Nate Saint wrote years earlier. "People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget they too are expending their lives, and when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted." Everybody's bubble is going to burst. Every one of us at the end of our lives, it's all gone. Then what? What did we spend our lives for? What did we pour ourselves out for? What did we give ourselves to? Having a full life is not necessarily a long life. I want at the end of my life to say I fulfilled the purposes of God.
Father, hear our prayer we pray. Not for ills, but prayer shall be. Might for strength, that we may live our lives courageously. Not for our impostures do we ask our wage will be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly.
What's it going to be like for you if one day when you die and you make it to heaven, you made it in, and on that final day, you look around and there's that table you've heard all about, and it's time for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And angels are gathering around and they're placing everybody in their proper seats. They say, "Come here. This is where you're to seat at the marriage supper." And you sit down and you don't recognize anybody around you, but they're all former Christians, all on fire, people that got saved sometime in their life and they made it in. And across from you, a little girl, you look at her, you say, "Hi, what's your name?" And she says, "Rebecca." You say, "Rebecca, where are you from?" She says, "Rome." And you say, "Rebecca, would you talk to me just for a few minutes of how you got here?" She said, "Well, we had a real hard life. My daddy, when I was 8 years old, I had to go to this big arena and I watched lions eat my daddy. With my own eyes, I watched lions eat my daddy. They killed him because my daddy loved Jesus. And I've never cried so much in my life as I did that day." 2 days later, they came back for me and my brother. And they took us to the same arena where my daddy died. And there was thousands of people cheering. They paraded us into the arena. And there was no one there but just us in that big arena and all the people. And then I looked around and I saw all these doors opening up around the arena. And out of every door came lions. And I'd never been so scared in my life. They had told me that if I just deny Jesus, I could live. But I couldn't do that. He was everything to me. my reason for living. I died that day. The angels came and ushered me into heaven. And I've been waiting here for the marriage supper. This is so special. And then she says, and how about you? What's your story? Friend, look at me. You better have one. You better have one. You better be able to say something. As a matter of fact, did you know that 160,000 people were martyred in 1996 for the cause of Christ? One minister was just killed in Cali, Colombia, where we're building a church. Why was he killed? Because cartel members, drug addicts were being saved, dealers were being saved. What did they do? They killed the pastor.
He told us to drop him off, but I said, no, just leave me here. I can walk. That was the last time I saw him.
We are strong.
I want you to think of what this means. My life for the gospel. My life for the gospel.
Okay, I want you to bow your heads a minute. I'm a desperate man right now in my life, and I'm desperate because I want God to stamp eternity on my eyes. And my love for you wants the same for you. I want to be thinking about that day. And I want to realize in truth and accuracy and honesty that today might be that last day for me. And it might be for you too. I want to have, not for my own boasting or my own pride or so I can say something, but for my Lord's glory and His honor, I want to have a story in that day. I want there to be a train of people behind me who are influenced by the gospel. Not so I can have a trophy or crown, but that I can lay my trophy before my Master. And say, this is for you. And I can't do it without His power, and I can't do it without His grace, but with His grace and His power, I can. And that's what Paul was saying, that I might save some. And I want you to think for a minute, what does this mean, my life for the gospel? My life, not for my fun, but my life for the gospel. What does that mean? What can that mean? What should that mean? While you have your heads bowed, I know this church prays for revival. And I came across these words by A.W. Pink, and I think they're instructive. And John, I hope they will be encouraging to you. He said, "It is true that many are praying for worldwide revival, but it would be more timely and more scriptural for prayer to be made to the Lord of the harvest, that He would raise up and thrust forth laborers who would fearlessly and faithfully preach those truths which are calculated to bring about a revival." And that would be the gospel. And so while we're praying for it, we're going and penetrating the hearts of men and women who could care less about God and the things of God, that their hearts would be penetrated with the arrows of the law of God and of righteousness and of judgment, and then of their opportunity for salvation through the gospel. My life for the gospel. My life for the gospel. You can look up now. My utmost for the highest. The man who wrote that was Oswald Chambers. He said this, Paul had written, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. And Paul had said he was overwhelmed with the sense of his indebtedness to Jesus Christ. Do I feel that same sense of indebtedness to Christ regarding every unsaved soul? As a saint, my life's spiritual honor and duty is to fulfill my debt to Christ in relation to these lost souls. So how do I approach this stewardship? How do I get up tomorrow morning? And how do I live through the week? And how do I go into next weekend? How do I approach? I have this stewardship of the gospel. Everywhere I go, people are perishing. How many people will die between now and this time tomorrow? 160,000 people gone. This time next week when you're in church, over 1 million people will have died. What percentage of them do you think might go to hell? From our experience, as we go out and talk with lots of people about the gospel, I would say it would be doing good if we found 10% of them that were saved. Now, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but I'm telling you, broad is the way and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And many there are that are going therein. And guess what? I'm free. I'm free to take the gospel and get right in front of it. Listen, I want these two rows. I want you to stand up and I want you to walk back here. Just real quick, real quick. I'm sorry you have me come. You're going to do something, okay? Move back there. And let's have these folks do the same. Okay? Okay, turn around this way. All right. Now, you all don't have to. You can sit. Okay. All right. Here I am. I'm out in my world, right? And I'm thinking, well, I wonder if God wants me to talk to this person. I wonder if He wants me to talk to that person. I got your answer. I got it. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't have to pray. I mean, it's a good thing to pray because sometimes there will be people the Holy Spirit really puts in your heart. But in the middle of it, it's not unclear. We're to preach it to everybody. Is that right? So, when Darlene Curry goes to the store, she should say, I'm going to go to the store to preach the gospel, and while I'm there, I'm going to buy some milk and bread. Right? Okay, now here I am. I'm out in my world, and here come the masses walking toward me. Come on. And here's my job. Here's my job. Whoa! Stop! Wait! You can walk past me. That's okay. Stop! Wait! 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 Up ahead! Hell! Hell is burning! Wait! Let me tell you, there's a way to escape. There's a way to escape hell. Hold on! Hold on! That's my job. That's my job. That's your job. Thank you, everybody.